Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word. And I hope you'll stick with us here and even join in the conversation here tonight. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. You can give us a call toll-free at 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the radio here this evening. That's 888-677-9673. And Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church. Find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can look us up there and connect with our home church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor, as well as listen to past programs and see some of the other materials and things that I have available for us at livewithpastoral.com. So I hope you'll check that out. And I think what we're going to go ahead and do at this point is we will open our program here tonight with a word of prayer. Let's go ahead and do that. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Thank you for making this available to us. Help us to be a blessing to somebody this evening. Help us to encourage believers in their walk with you. And if there's one that's searching, help us to be able to do something we think of or talk about or look at this evening, that we can point that person that's searching to Christ, that they might be able to find Christ, to put their faith in Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior as well. Bless the program for your glory. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, like I said, good to be with you here tonight. This is a gorgeous day today here in northeastern Ohio. At my house, we got up to like 84, 85 degrees, somewhere in that range. And I believe when I parked my car, it was warmer up here in Independence because we're closer to the lake than it was at my house. I think it was about 68 when I left my house, and it was 73 when I got out of my car here at the studios this evening. So yeah, it was nice. And the other thing that was nice after church this evening, sat outside enjoying this cool evening. This is that rare time of year when you have evenings like this, you really should get out and enjoy them, because we didn't have the mosquitoes and other bugs bothering us, and the humidity was relatively low. I think it was below 50% humidity or thereabouts, and for Northeast Ohio, that's low. I remember going out to Fort Collins, Colorado, before I went to college. My dad and I went out there to look at the college, and we were staying in a hotel there in Fort Collins. We were going out to see Colorado State University, but we were staying at a hotel there in Fort Collins, Colorado, and everybody was complaining about the humidity and listening to the weather, and they were saying, and this high humidity continues. It's now currently 34%. Now, keep in mind, this was in August, I believe it was, or July maybe, and I had just come from here in northeastern Ohio where, you know, 35% would have been considered bone dry. I mean, we were up around 90-some percent humidity, and believe me, the time I spent in Colorado, even when it was hot, when I know they say it's dry heat, and I spent some time traveling out through Arizona, New Mexico, and all in the deserts and things out there a little bit. And yes, it is hot. But let me tell you, there's a big difference between 100 degrees at 20% humidity or less and 80 degrees with 100% humidity or more. There's a real big difference. I spent 4 years living in the tropics in the Samoan Islands when my wife and I planted a church down in Samoa, and it was so humid, even though most of the year the temperatures was in the 80s. The humidity was such that you took a shower, and as you're taking the towel down your arm to dry off, as the towel dries the water from the shower off from your arm, the perspiration, because the high humidity, is occurring immediately after the towel goes. So you wonder, did I accomplish anything with the towel? It just was amazing. I also spent 3 years living in England, and it wasn't near as warm as the tropics, but it was also quite humid there as well. And so when the weather was cooler, it could get a bit uncomfortable in the sense of the those cool, damp temperatures where even though it might only be 40 degrees, it seems to go through you more than 20 degrees does when the humidity is a lot less. I guess, long story short, if you have the opportunity to enjoy days like this when you're here in northeastern Ohio, take advantage of them. What an absolutely gorgeous evening sitting out on the back porch enjoying a little meal after church tonight. And we actually sat out there after church this afternoon, too. It was just that nice, not overly hot, and the humidity's not up yet, and the mosquitoes weren't bothering us. So, at any rate, what a glorious day. Like they said, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. Well, like I said, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And we are going to get into our callers. We've got a whole slate of callers lined up here already. And let me give out that number again real quick before we grab our first caller. That number again is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we will get you on the air here today with your questions about the Bible and or current events in light of God's Word. And let's take our first caller here. We have got Mary Grace calling in tonight. Mary Grace, welcome to the program this evening.
Oh, God love things. Oh, Pastor Al, I'm just so excited. I'm telling you, May 6th is the National Day of Prayer. And I'm hoping that we are up there on our squares, in the villages or wherever we live, and that we're coming out to pray and show that Jesus Christ is Lord of all.
And I'm glad you mentioned that as well, because that's coming up pretty quick here toward the end. Let's see. That's going to be what, Thursday, isn't it? No, not Thursday.
Thursday.
Yeah, Thursday. That's right. I was thinking Friday for a minute, but it's Thursday. Yeah.
I'm hoping it goes to the 8th because so many things are happening in this world. People need healing.
Well, and our country needs prayer, that's for sure.
Oh, yes. And I sometimes stay up all night praying for our nation to wake up and know that God is, was, and ever shall be, without end. Amen. I want everybody to go to heaven.
And, you know, what is sad, we used to have a day in our country when government leaders, I'm not talking about just the president, but I'm talking about governors, I'm talking about mayors, I'm talking about, at all levels of government, they used to ask for days of prayer in their communities and in their states.
I know.
And now you're considered some kind of fanatic or something if you do that.
No. I'm telling you, people are stuck, and the thing is, you can't be that way. I don't wear a mask, and I'm so proud of it. Do you understand? Because my God doesn't want me to cover my face. Mm-hmm. I wear a placard, and now it's Citizens for Free Speech. But I'm telling you, I can't support the world. I get more mail than anybody should ever get.
Mm-hmm.
I have garbage bags full of mail, and they're all old. And I was like, God help us. Do you understand? I can't pay everybody for my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
What is this? It's just people have to work, live, eat, get well. And mm-hmm. They have to know that they can get out there. But we have so many churches around here closed, these big, huge buildings.
Oh.
And I'm saying, why? God help us.
And
you understand?
It's and the sad thing is, some of the churches that are open, they're so restrictive on who they will let in. You know, we're getting to the point where some churches won't let you in unless you can show you've been vaccinated.
I know. And what is that about? In Jesus' day, would they, would he tell you to take the vaccine? No.
Well, you know, we're at that point where God's people, as the Bible says in Chronicles 7, was it verse 14? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then God says, will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and will heal their land? We need intercessory prayer in our country, don't we?
Oh, we do. Hadassah, where are you? I'm only a voice crying in the wilderness. Prepare ye the way for the Lord. And I ask people to come. I beg them. And I send them calendars and everything. I was like, what do you want? I can't afford to support the world. I'm a voice.
Right.
I'm in the wilderness, and I testify to everyone I meet.
Let me give another passage here, too, that tells that we ought to pray for our country, because 1 Timothy chapter 2, and this is a passage that in the last year I found to be especially appropriate, where he says in chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, where he says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty.
All the people over me.
Yeah. So, it's inexcusable for God's people not to pray for this country.
We can't say we're too busy.
Yeah, it's one of those things that it's in the scriptures. God says we should do it, and there is power in prayer. Prayer's often called the most powerful weapon in our arsenal and the least used.
It's the weapon. It's the sword of the Lord.
Uh-huh.
God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word is God.
Mm-hmm.
I love His Word.
Yeah.
And that's the point. I can't be the only one. I pray for everybody.
So
get what they're looking for.
Right.
And you should find.
Mm-hmm.
Understand. I knock. And the thing is, God help us. We need Him.
Mm-hmm.
We need Him every moment, every second of every day.
Right.
And I wish that thirst was in everybody to know Him.
And I appreciate you bringing up and reminding us of the National Day of Prayer coming up here this coming Thursday. And that's an important thing for people to remember. And I'm glad you did. And that made sure that we got it out on the air tonight. So I appreciate that. And I think we will move to our next caller here this evening. And we've got Tom in Akron waiting for us, I believe. Tom, welcome to the program tonight.
Oh, yes, Pastor. How you doing?
I'm doing well.
Always an encouragement. I look forward to your broadcast.
Thank you.
I'm still awake. Sometimes I fall asleep before, but.
Well, that's my job, putting people to sleep, whether it's Sunday morning, Sunday night, or late night on the radio. So,
listening to Mary Grace there, I've heard her before. She's a very little devout little saint of God, I think.
Well, and you know, we were talking about prayer. It is so important, and I've actually heard of and known of people who don't think we need to pray for our country.
Well, yeah, and this is the point of my call. I'm going to just say it real quick because I know you probably get the board filled, but we forget that God the Holy Spirit is not only our comforter, our teacher, He convicts of sin, He encourages us. He is also the great restrainer in the world. So remember to pray to the Lord that the Holy Spirit puts that hedge of protection around not only our nation, but our families, ourselves, and that He restrains the evil that we're even seeing in our government today that wants to corrupt further this nation.
Oh, absolutely.
So, you know, that restraining power, now that power is going to be taken are limited very much as far as I can see in the scriptures during the tribulation period, but he'll still be at work, I think.
Oh, yeah, and there's going to be some unique things that he does during the tribulation, but right now, like you said, praying for God's restraining power, like he said, Paul said to the Ephesians in Ephesians 6, where he said, finally, my brethren, Ephesians 6, verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil.
Amen, amen.
And so we need God's power. We need his armor that he has for us. And, of course, you can read about that in Ephesians chapter 6. And I just wanted to read the next verse where he says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places.
Yeah.
You know, there's an interesting account back in the book of Daniel where Daniel has a dream, and he's troubled by the dream, and he fasts and prays for 21 days, begging God to give him the understanding of the vision that he had, because he understood it was a vision from God in the dream. And
the angel was hindered, huh?
Right. And remember, the angel was hindered, he said, in this is in Daniel chapter 10, as we were talking there, I was flipping back trying to remember where that was at. And he says this, the angel says in verse number 12, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come from thy words. He says the very first day, 3 weeks ago, when you started praying, he said, your words were heard, and I've been sent for that.
Oh, yeah.
But the problem is, because like Paul said to the Ephesians, we're in a spiritual battle. And he says, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. He's not talking about human beings here, earthly leaders. He's talking about angelic beings. Some were holy angels, such as Michael, the archangel here, one of the chief princes. And then some were unholy angels, fallen angels, the prince of the kingdom of Persia, right, that withstood him to prevent God's word from getting through. This is why we need to pray for our country, because there's a spiritual battle that Daniel refers to behind the scenes. And then after he gives Daniel the message here in Daniel chapter 10, he then says in verse 20, then said he, knowest thou wherefore I am come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. And so he's talking about an ongoing spiritual struggle amongst the spiritual powers and principalities that are influencing kingdoms. And, of course, the prince of Grecia, this would be a spirit that's behind the rise of Greece and their power, because guess who toppled Persia?
Yep.
Well, it was Alexander the Great and the Greeks.
Well, that's why we should never, we make a mistake when, even as Christians, we look at the serious problems in our nation and we think it's all going to be solved at the voting booth. Well, sometimes it can be, but if we forget the spiritual battle going on behind the scenes, we see a much bigger picture than just a political discourse.
Absolutely. And that's why God's people need to pray and be involved in voting.
Right.
Because sometimes God's going to use us in that area. Some
right.
of the, you know, some of the spiritual battle is aided by the things that we do, praying
that's
for
right.
our country, taking time to be salt and light, getting out and voting, and many things.
But that was my point I wanted to make tonight, basically, Pastor Al, was that we can not only, we should always pray for our leaders and those in authority over us, but we can also pray against them in the respect that the Holy Spirit restrains the evil that they would
right.
do unto us.
Exactly.
Oh, listen, God bless. It's a great show, and I always appreciate hearing you every Sunday evening. It's an encouragement.
All right, appreciate that, Tom, and thanks for calling tonight. And I'm sure we'll hear from you again in the future. And you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And our phone number is 888-677-9673. And we've been getting through our callers pretty quickly here this evening. But we've got Nancy who's waiting patiently as well. Nancy, welcome to the program tonight.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al, for taking my call. And I just wanted to mention that we had a really wonderful 42nd church anniversary.
Oh, right. The Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid. Pastor Andrew Risnacko.
Yes, praise the Lord. And I think that your church is not far behind. What is it, about 38 years or 36 or something like that?
30-something. I got to look at it again. I forget sometimes. I've been pastoring there now myself for, 97 until now. What does that make it? 23, 4 years, something like for me. And 97 to now is about 4 years, I guess. Something like that.
And
then of course that was my sending church when I was in the Samoan Islands, and we went down there in 1992, 3. Let's see, 7 minus 4. That's going to be 93. Yeah, and I actually joined that church when I got out of the Air Force, and that would have been about left active duty in the Air Force and returned back to my hometown. And that would have been, I'm trying to think back, about 87, something like that. And so the church was already there by then, so that means it's over 34 years right there.
Oh, okay.
So 34, 37, I don't think it's quite 40. But I'll have to look up the records there.
Anyhow, it was a very, very blessed day. We didn't have a meal like we usually do, but we just had dessert. But it was just a good turnout, and with beautiful weather, it really helped increase the attendance. Now,
Let me say one more thing before I get to your question, because and if necessary, we can go the other side of the break. But I was going to point out to Pastor Risnacko there, not only has he been the pastor there the whole time, but he started the church, didn't he?
Oh, absolutely, yes. So, he started it, and he's still there after 42 years.
Yeah, and they're on the radio as well. You can listen to Pastor Risnacko. Mm-hmm. For instance, on Friday afternoon, we have Pastor Lutz of the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood. He comes on at 1 o'clock for half an hour, and then I come on at 1:30 for a half an hour. And then, of course, Pastor Risnacko follows me at 2 o'clock, also on for a half an hour, 2 to 2:30. And if people want a good, hopefully, I think Pastor Lutz coined it the Baptist trifecta.
Oh, that's cute.
But it makes for a good, I hope, at least a good half hour before me and a half hour after me, and me sandwiched in the middle there somehow or another. But it is a good program to listen to. I know that it's not a live program. His wife, of course, Carol, edits down one of the sermons and presents it. Good program. I encourage people to listen. I usually listen to it as I'm heading home from the radio station. And it's always a blessing. I always enjoy listening. And like I said, we'll hold you over if need be, because I wanted to say something since you're talking about it being the anniversary there, the Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid, and encourage people if you're out there in that area to visit your church. Chardon Road
Chardon right near Euclid.
Yeah. I was going to say
north of Euclid Avenue.
But I was going to say, I always like to laugh and sometimes kid Pastor Risnacko, because, you know, when you're in Bible school, they basically tell you, you know, 3 points in a poem is like the message structure. And, or at least 3 points, you know, the poem, I guess, can be optional. But we used to always joke in Bible school, you know, 3 points in a poem. And I always think it humorous. Pastor Risnacko will start, "Now I'm going to give you 12 reasons why, or I'm going to give you, you know, six things that the Bible says," and he goes through them, and it doesn't become long and boring. It's always interesting. It's always, you're learning something, which you ought to be doing. I mean, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, I'm trying to think of the one, but the, one of the things talking about a pastor should be apt to teach. And so he's teaching you the Bible as he's sharing, you know, his 8 points or 9 points or seven or whatever it is. Right. He doesn't follow the 3 points in a poem, does he?
No.
But it's always good, and it's always a blessing.
Maybe between 6 and 8.
I've heard him do like 10 or 12, I think, at a time.
Oh, yes. He's done 10 or 12, no question.
Yeah, but it's like I said, it's always good.
Well, thank you. Well, I've been there since 1986. I'm sort of a permanent fixture there. So I've been there 14 plus 20, 34 years.
Yeah. So certainly happy anniversary to the Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid and Pastor Rusnacko and his wife, Carol.
They really appreciate that. And I love coming to your church's anniversary. I know it's, I think it's the third Sunday in
September.
Is that correct?
Yeah, third Sunday in September.
Yeah. It's always a blessing that, I think his name is Eric Howitt.
Eric Howitt, yeah. Usually we become friends with him many years ago, and he usually comes in, provides some special music and all, and we just have some fellowship, and we enjoy one another's company, have a nice fellowship dinner afterwards, it's good for God's people to spend time together. Remember in Acts chapter 2 when Peter preached a great sermon on the day of Pentecost, and people were coming to Christ by the thousands, and it says they continued every day. And it talks about the breaking of bread there in Acts chapter 2. Here it is. It says, and they continued steadfastly, verse 42, in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And I know breaking of bread, they're talking about observing the Lord's Supper, but I think also they probably spent a good bit of time, eating with each other, you know, spending time eating. And there really is something. I know you like to post things on Facebook when you've been out to eat different places. And I've done that on my myself occasionally. But there's something that when people spend time over a meal, whether it's at the holidays or a birthday or just nothing special in particular, just some time together. It's a bonding sort of thing.
Absolutely.
And I think God designed us that way, because what's the first thing that we find out when we get into heaven? One of the first things, we're going to sit down to the marriage supper of the Lamb, aren't we?
Yes. Yeah, I was just going to say that.
A feast.
Yes, praise the Lord.
Yeah, a feast. So, I know we haven't got to your question yet. I know we're coming up, but let's dive into your question there. And like I said, we'll probably have to hold you to the other side.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was just talking with somebody this evening after the evening service about getting saved in the Old Testament, and Jesus wasn't visible like he is, people didn't know about him like in the New Testament. And from my understanding, God did speak directly to the leaders of the Bible, like Abram and Moses and David and Daniel and Joseph and Jonah. So he talked directly to them. I'm thinking, is that how these leaders got saved? And then what about ordinary people? How did they? I know it's sort of simplified, like if you believe in the Lord, but they didn't specify Jesus back then. They didn't say, like in the New Testament, they say, trust Jesus, trust Jesus with all your heart, of course, because they didn't know about him. So if you could just explain a little bit about how people got saved in the Old Testament, how would you know that somebody got saved back then?
Well, we don't know all that they had. And as you were talking about that, and I know we got, less than a minute before the break, so we'll just touch on this a moment and then pick it up after the break. Yeah.
Okay,
but
thank you.
Job is the oldest book of the Bible. I know Moses writes about the beginnings and everything, but Job would have been written before Moses was born. In Job chapter 19, verse 25, he says, I know that my Redeemer liveth. So he understood the principle of a Redeemer. And this would have been about the time of Isaac and Jacob. But stay tuned. We've got another half hour to go. Okay. We'll dive into this.
Great. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why? Well, because the Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call this evening, toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. You can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And that'll link, of course, to my home church where I'm the pastor, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. And we just had information on that. We'll have it again at the end of the program, but certainly invite you to visit us. If you don't have a church and you're looking for a church, if you're looking for a church that sticks with the Word of God, preaches the King James Bible as the Word of God, I hope you come out and give us a try. And you can always visit us at our Friday night Bible study every Friday night, 7 o'clock. We meet Friday nights as well as Sunday morning at 11 and Sunday evening at 6 o'clock at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located in Northern Summit County, Richfield, Ohio, midway between Akron and Cleveland, right where Interstate 77 and the Ohio Turnpike cross on Rexville Road. All right, we're going to get into a couple of other things here. Oh, and I don't want to forget as well Not only are we brought to you tonight by the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, but also by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. You can find East Coast Pizza at in Garfield Heights at 4889 Turney Road. That's 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And you can call them at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100, and let them know you heard about us right here on Live with Pastor Al. All right, now we're going to jump back into our calls, and we were talking with Nancy just before we went into the break, and we talked about something. I asked her about her church's anniversary services and all, so we didn't get to her question that she called about until just about time for the break. And so we have Nancy back on the phone with us still. And Nancy, again, just briefly, what was your question again?
I was discussing with a friend of mine at church this evening about how do you get saved in the Old Testament? And it's my understanding also that God talked directly to people in the Old Testament. I'm thinking, you know, especially, you know, the leaders like Abram and Moses and David, Daniel, Joseph.
Right.
And you were mentioning that Job was the oldest book, and then you mentioned Job, was it 1925? I know that
My Redeemer liveth.
And I do see a lot of different examples of God talking directly to men. And then, I know this is a totally different path, which I don't want you to dwell on it too much. I do hear people say, friends and also even preachers saying that God spoke to me directly and told me this. From my understanding, the only way God speaks to you, you know, in the New Testament times is through the written word. Do you think that God speaks directly to people ever? In New Testament times, I don't want you to spend too much
time. Yeah, well, let's just touch that one real quick. Sometimes it's just the way people express it. Friend of mine, that he used to say, well, God told me this. Well, what he was meaning, because I asked him one time what he meant. I said, you know, did God speak to you in an audible voice or you know, something like that? He said, no, I was reading the Bible and something leapt out at me. So a lot of times that's what people mean when they said God spoke to me. I read the Bible and sometimes I see something that I hadn't noticed before, or I'm praying about something or going through some situation. I read the Bible and it's like something leaps off the page. Well, that's God speaking to you. But like you said, he speaks to us through his word. Now, does God have the ability to speak to somebody if there was a need? Well, I'm not going to limit God and say he can't if there's not a need, but the actual fact of the matter is he's completed his divine revelation for us in the Word of God, and you know, and unless I was getting ready to step out in front of a truck and God shouted from the heavens and said, stop! You know, or something like that, you know, because it was an emergency situation. But I don't need God. I let me put it this way. I remember one time when I was in the Air Force and somebody went to some kind of prophetic conference and they came back and they said, oh, we had the greatest revelation. Somebody said that God was speaking, saying, my people need to read the Word of God more and need to pray more. And I said, well, she got mad at me. I said, I was a little younger then. Oh, good. I said, well, the Bible tells me I need to read the Word of God more and pray more. I said, I don't need an extra divine revelation for that. It's written in the Word of God. And this person told me several other things, and everything that supposedly was given as a divine revelation at this prophecy conference was in the Bible already. You didn't need it. It's all you have to do is open the book. And you know, people get all excited about, oh, I'm going to get some audible voice, when God right now, his primary means of speaking to people is through his word, whether it's you reading it directly or somebody proclaiming it in a message, a sermon or something, or a Bible school lesson or whatever. So, yes, without getting any further into it, that's what I would say regarding that. But in regards to Old Testament people being saved or redeemed or whatever terminology you want to use, I know that in the beginning we had Adam and we had Eve. And they thought they could cover the effects of their sin with the works of their hands. Remember, they made the fig leaves. God said that wasn't good enough. And he established in the very beginning the principle that without the shedding of blood, there is no payment. There's no propitiation for our sins. And so he killed an innocent animal, probably two, and took their skins to make coverings for Adam and Eve. Now, personally, I believe that Adam and Eve were clothed with light, and when they disobeyed God, they lost that light covering. I personally don't agree with the presentation of Adam and Eve walking around completely all natural and not feeling any qualms. I just don't see where God would have done that and had children and people growing up. I think there's other. I don't want to spend too much time on it right now because we'll get away from your question. But I think they were clothed with garments of light that they lost, and that's why. When their eyes were open, they knew they were naked because they'd lost that garment because they were no longer holy. And so they tried to cover with the works of their own hands, and God told them that's not good enough. And he also gave them the promise that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the seed, the head of the serpent, which has been called the first the prophecy of a coming Savior. And then, of course, Cain and Abel. Abel brought the right sacrifice, the blood sacrifice. Cain, on the other hand, thought, "Well, I'll just overcome the works, the curse on the land with by my own efforts, by my own works, and God will be impressed." And of course, God wasn't. And so, let's flash forward a few centuries, and Noah and his family got off the ark, and the first thing they did was they offered up a sacrifice, a burnt offering before the Lord. And again, everybody, when they got off the ark, understood the principle of sin and that the wages of sin is death. And they understood that the sacrifice pointed to the coming Redeemer. And so here's Job talking about the same thing. I know that my Redeemer, Redeemer is somebody that's going to buy him back. He was lost in sin, and his Redeemer is going to buy him back. And that's, of course, what Jesus did. Here's a thought. There's a number of things that we can do, and I'm trying to go quickly here. But when Peter preached his great sermon on the day of Pentecost, I was referencing that earlier, and thousands of people got saved, what New Testament scriptures did he use to lead all those people to saving knowledge in Christ?
Not one, right?
Yeah. All he used was old. Yeah, he just used merely Old Testament scriptures. So later in the Old Testament, when we had much of the Old Testament scriptures, you had passages like Isaiah 53 that talked about the sacrifice of the Messiah and other things. But by the time Jesus was here, and in the early church leaders, Peter and Paul and all them, think about it. When Paul went into an area and he preached and some believed, how many New Testament scriptures did Paul use? Absolutely none.
Yeah.
Because there was no New Testament scripture at first.
That's very true.
And so they taught and the gospel, they preach salvation using the Old Testament scriptures. So if Peter and Paul in the first century could lead people to a saving knowledge of Christ with Old Testament scripture, then surely people in the Old Testament had some understanding of how to be saved. And so I believe that what happened in the Old Testament is they essentially looked forward to a coming Redeemer, like Job said. He said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And not only that, he says he's going to see him, as you read the following verses there. So Job understood the principle of a Redeemer coming, and this is all through the Old Testament scriptures. I think they knew that from the time of Adam. all the way down through to the time of Jesus. They understood the principle of a coming Redeemer, so they put their faith in the Redeemer who was to come, the Messiah. We put our faith in the Redeemer who came, the Messiah, who's Jesus Christ. They just didn't know the name Jesus Christ yet. We do. But they put their faith in the same thing that we do, that the Redeemer would come and that he would purchase our salvation. So,
I forgot about like Isaiah 53 and all those good prophetic, you know, the prophets back there that God spoke to them and told them, you know, about.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you. Thank you. You explained it very well. You probably have other callers.
We've got another caller to get to yet, too, but I appreciate that call tonight, Nancy. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
All right, God bless. And like I said, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Toll-free number, 888-667-7967-3. We've got Terry waiting patiently for us as well tonight. Terry, welcome to the program.
How you doing?
I am doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing well, thank you.
I hope your weather up there in Canada was near as good as ours was down here on this side of the lake.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. Yeah.
Oh, what a beautiful day.
Got a little bit of a chill in the air right now, though, but I had to shut my window.
Yeah, well, it's still only the 1st of May, so.
Yeah, and the last thing you just said to Nancy was, I lost my train of thought again. You just talked about...
Oh, yeah, we were talking about the Redeemer, how they put their faith in the Redeemer to come.
God is the God of the new is the God of the old.
You
never forget that.
Exactly. Exactly. And so when we think about it, we don't know all that they know because we don't have everything recorded. And, you know, God had spoken to various prophets, and so they had a number of things, but... If they could get saved back then, looking forward to the Redeemer who's going to come with less scripture than we have today, then there's no excuse for people not getting saved today, if you think about it, with all the abundant evidence that we have today in who the Redeemer was.
Yeah, and Jesus says, I am.
Yes.
And before Abraham was, I am.
And when he said, I am, they recognized that he was equating himself to Moses, not to Moses personally, but to Moses when he went to the burning bush and he encountered God and he said, who shall I say sent me? And he said, I am. And they recognized that when Jesus said, I am, he was claiming to be there in the burning bush.
Yeah, he claimed to be God.
Yeah. That was a direct...
They wanted to stone him.
Yeah, and these people that say, and you hear this every once in a while, there's nowhere in the Bible where Jesus claims to be God. Well, when he said, I am, he claimed to be God. He claimed the title of God.
That's right.
You know, and people say, well, he was just a good man. He wasn't really God. Well, if he wasn't God, how can he be a good man claiming to be God? He was either crazy or he was... conning people. So
yeah, he'd be the biggest con ever if he wasn't God.
Yeah. Either a con or a kook, I guess you could say.
Yeah. Last week Nancy brought up something, but I can't quite remember what it was, but the one scripture that I forgot about was he came on his own in John chapter 1 verse 11. He came on his own, but his own received him.
Unto his own.
Unto his own, but his own received him not.
Right, right. Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 11, where it says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. And then it talks in the next verse, verse 12, about them who did receive him. But, he was manifest in the world. You know, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, it says in verse 14. But a lot of people refused to receive him.
Well, I believe that he came on to the Jews.
Yeah, and he presented himself as the Redeemer. In fact, just looking down the page here in John chapter 1, it says in verse 29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And the moment he said that, the Jewish listeners understood what he was saying, because remember, they sacrificed lambs in the temple to take away their sin as a temporary taking away of sin. And he comes here and says, he points Jesus out and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." So they had some understanding of what the Redeemer was going to do, didn't they?
Yeah, and no other lamb needed to be sacrificed.
Exactly. He was the lamb that was slain, the Bible says, from the foundation of the world.
The world.
Because God already had the plan of salvation in place, even when Adam sinned. The plan of salvation was already in place.
That's right. You mentioned a little bit about Adam and Eve, and that was something actually I was going to bring up tonight, and what it was like before the fall.
And we don't know how long Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden before the fall. The Bible doesn't tell us. We know they were created on the sixth day, and they were placed in the garden. And God had told them, let me drop back over here to Genesis chapter number 2. It says in verse 15, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat freely, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." And, of course, they did die spiritually immediately when they ate the fruit. Now, physical death took a little longer. But this is the command that they were given, and so they had been placed in the garden there. They were placed in the garden for the purpose of maintaining and taking care of the garden. They had also been, given the command to be fruitful and multiply. So,
and the strange thing, too, is that they never had children before the fall.
Well, and that suggests that they weren't too long in the garden before this took place.
Right.
I mean, that would be the suggestion to me, because after the fall, when you go over to chapter 4, in verse 1, it says, "And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord." And the implication there is that this is the first child born, and that Cain was not born until after the fall, after they were expelled from the garden, and that his conception took place after the fall, after they were expelled from the garden. And so I do find it hard to believe that that they would have been wandering around in the garden for years or centuries without children before the fall. So this suggests that the fall occurred pretty soon after their creation. I'm not going to try and pick a date, whether it was the first week or the first month or whatever, but it had to be relatively soon, I would think. And, of course, the way that that could have happened is when Adam and Eve were created, they were created as adults. They did not come into the world as babies that had to grow up and spend some time growing up. They were fully mature adults.
I believe that Adam used his whole, I believe that man used to use their whole brain, or Adam used his whole brain.
Yeah.
Just part of it.
Yeah. And so as a consequence, they were thinking and understanding things at a much higher level than what we would have been.
Right. So,
or what we are now, probably even. But,
which would have been amazing. I think a lot about that. What it was like for Adam and Eve.
And so that's part of what made it worse, when by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, because Adam was not deceived. He made a conscious choice to cast his lot with Eve and eat the forbidden fruit, and purposely did something contrary to what God had expressly said. And then, of course, he knew good, but the moment he ate the forbidden fruit, he now knew evil, which was the absence of good, because he had rejected God's goodness. Hey, Terry, I've got another caller calling in. I just saw on the board, and we're running out of time. But appreciate that. We'll catch up with Terry again, I'm sure, and look at a couple more things with that as well. But we've got Jeremiah calling in. Jeremiah, welcome to the program tonight.
Hey, Pastor Al. It's been a while.
Hi, good evening. Yes, haven't heard you from you in a while.
Yeah, you want to read a quick verse real quick?
It has to be quick. We got less than 3 minutes.
1 Thessalonians 5:2.
Uh-huh.
It says, "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night."
That's right.
He'll come like a thief in the night.
And what that tells us is when, and it's talking there in the day of the Lord, and we look at the context there with chapter 4 and going into chapter 5, we're talking about the catching away of the believers, which people call the rapture, the catching away of the believers. And when he says as a thief in the night, that means he's not going to call us up and say, hey, you know, about 3 in the morning, the thief doesn't call you up and say, about 3 in the morning, I'm going to break into your house. Rather than break the windows, why don't you just leave your door open for me? You know, and just, you know, don't mind me. I'm just going to be robbing you of your valuables. So, you know, just don't bother waking up for me. You know, he doesn't call you in advance. And that tells us, too, that the Lord's not going to get a hold of us in advance and say, hey, guess what? Tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I'm going to catch all the believers out of the world. He's not doing that. But we do know the season that we're in and that we are close.
But you have a blessed week. I'll talk next week.
Well, thank you, Jeremiah. I appreciate that, and God bless you as well. And I know we're quickly coming up on the end of the program, just a minute or two left. And again, I want to thank all of our callers. We had a lot of callers tonight. Been a nice busy night. And again, National Day of Prayer coming up on the 6th, which is Thursday. But something else coming up this Tuesday is Election Day. We were over here in 1 Thessalonians, and you just go over a page or two to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where it talks about the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way, letteth in the sense of restraint there, not permissive. And that's the Holy Spirit working through believers to restrain the progress of the mystery of iniquity in the world. And one of the ways believers can help restrain is by getting out and voting. Not everybody has something on the ballot this Tuesday. Some people do. Some people only have one or two things. But take advantage. Get out and vote Tuesday. Thanks for listening. God bless. Have a great week.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com.